Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. We hear about the Day of the Three Kings and of the story of one of the wise men who came from the East, guided by the star, to worship the King of the Jews. And Father Jim Brand thinks about names, their meaning, and about the importance of words. The 12 days of Christmas end with the Feast of Epiphany, which is also called the Adoration of the Magi, or the Manifestation of God. Celebrated on January the 6th, it's known as the Day of the Three Kings because, as Sean Patrick Lovett narrates in a programme by Jill Bevilacqua, the Gospel of St. Matthew tells us that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men came from the East looking for the King of the Jews, as they had seen his star in the East and had come to worship him.
This is a story of Christmas, or rather, a story of the Epiphany. The Gospel of St. Matthew tells us that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men from the East came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the East and have come to worship him." We don't know exactly where the wise men, or kings, as they're sometimes called, came from. It's thought to be Persia, where the followers of Zarathustra worshipped one god, like the Jews. But tradition has placed them in the three parts of the known world at that time. Tradition has made them descendants of the sons of Noah, Cam, Shem, and Japhet. This idea is important for one reason. All races were called symbolically to Bethlehem because all were redeemed by the Messiah without distinction of origin or discrimination of color. Various names have been given to the wise men. The most popular are those given by St. Bede, the English monk of the 7th century. Bede said Melchior was white-skinned, Gaspar was red-skinned, and Balthazar black-skinned. The wise men brought gifts to the newborn Messiah: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, the king of metals. Frankincense, the perfume to be burnt in the presence of the most important people. And myrrh, the most fragrant of ointments for embalming the dead. Christian tradition gave these gifts a symbolic value: the gold representing the kingship of Jesus, the frankincense, the divinity of Jesus, and the myrrh, the humanity of Jesus, since he would die and have to be buried and his body embalmed. And now to our story. Since one king brought myrrh, and this is to be found in Ethiopia, we'd like to imagine that Balthazar was African. And since each king or wise man must have had a slave or a page to attend him, we've imagined a young boy called Daniel, who, carrying his flute, travels the long journey to Bethlehem and back with his beloved master. The flute provides the musical theme for our story and is itself a kind of symbol. For each time you hear the flute, we'd like you to imagine that the star has appeared again.
Well, Daniel, your flute sounds weary tonight. I expect you're tired, lad. It's been a long journey. But never mind. Look, up there on the hill, that's Jerusalem. That's where we'll be stopping. That's where we'll find the answer to what we're looking for. God willing, it'll be the truth this time. The truth and the life. But the way, The way. Who knows? Come, Daniel, we must get a move on. Our companions are ahead of us. Set up that old camel.
Yes, master. Come on, get along there. Hurry, old brute.
Master, there it is. Our star.
The star. The star.
Good. I was hungry. We couldn't stop to eat today. My master was so anxious to go to Jerusalem and see the king. Is he a good master, your Herod? Treat you well?
Oh, he has his good days, I suppose. I don't see much of him here in the kitchen. But the cooks, well, I wouldn't like to be in their shoes. If he doesn't like something they've prepared. And what about you?
My master? Well, he's a strange man, but he knows everything. He reads books, studies the sky. He doesn't talk much to other folks in our village, not like most chiefs. But if anyone wants advice or help, they go to him.
He says this star is the greatest thing that has ever happened on this earth.
No, really? A star?
Yes. Mind you, he gets gloomy sometimes. Stands for hours, looking at the sky. Doesn't talk at all. Then I wonder how I can cheer him up.
So what you do?
I play my flute.
Is that it there? Give us a tune. Go on.
Well, it's rather special flute. And somehow, since I've been on this journey, I find I play the same tune all the time. Well, maybe you think I'm silly, but it's the star.
The star?
Yes, the star. I must run. Our camel hasn't been fed yet. He's an old crossbatch. See you later.
Oh, well, he's a funny kid. Running off like that and leaving a full plate. If you ask me, he's got that star on the brain. Oh, well, I'd better get on. Or they'll find me still at it when they need the dishes, and then I'll be the one who'll be seeing stars.
Welcome, good strangers. Welcome to Jerusalem. Welcome to my palace. I hope you will enjoy your stay here. We have quite a lively city. Dancing, drinking. There are sights to see, things to do. Girls.
Great King, we appreciate your interest, but we have come to Jerusalem with a more serious purpose. A very serious purpose indeed.
Tell me more. I'm fascinated.
Great Herod, you know many things, and we have come to you in the hopes that you will be able to tell us something.
Well, I shall do all in my power to answer your questions.
There is only one question. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him.
King of the Jews.
Sirs, I shall see you very shortly when you have refreshed yourselves. My servants will attend to your needs. Please excuse me.
King of the Jews.
When Herod heard what the wise men were seeking, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah,
for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him.
So you see, I have managed to answer your question, good sirs. A little thought and meditation, and I had the answer. And now I will bid you good journey. Oh, but wait! Who is that you have with you? A boy? And how did you come to be at the court of King Herod?
He wished to see you, sire, and pay you homage. He had heard much about you.
Ah, an intelligent boy. Well, we have lived to see a great event, child. Eh?
Speak up, boy. King Herod is addressing you. Thank him for his kindness in receiving you.
Child, dear child, how I love children, their innocence. I would have my palace filled with children, all playing happily. Would you like to stay with me, child, in my palace? Wait on me at table, have beautiful, rich clothes to wear?
Oh, no, sire. I can't. I belong to my master.
Your master? Oh, yes, of course. Well, what's this? A flute? Come, play for me. I love to hear music. It helps me to forget.
To forget? Forget what, sire?
Why, nothing, child. Now, off you go to find your newborn king, your new master. I shall be seeing you on your return. A palace full of innocence. What a marvellous idea!
A strange man, this Herod. But let's be away, or night will surprise us on the highway. Daniel, what's the matter with you? You look like death. Come, let's have a tune to help us on our way.
Master, I can't. I don't know why. It's the star, I think.
The star?
Yes, it's disappeared. Ever since we came in here.
There, Daniel, don't worry. It'll come back, you'll see. As soon as we're out of here, on the road, it'll come back.
Will it? I don't know. I feel, since we came in here, something's happened. I feel we lost it.
Nonsense. Superstition. What are you looking so frightened for?
I don't know, Master. It's that man. He scares me. I don't believe he wants to see the Messiah. I don't believe he cares about the star. He gives me the shivers.
Look! Over there, the star. There you are, child, I told you. Come on now, let's have some music. You mustn't let us down now.
And so, as the Gospels recount, the three wise men went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their country by another way. And there the gospel story ends. But we shall follow Daniel just a little further before he too disappears out of sight, like the star. Thank you. When Daniel and his master and the other two wise men with their pages reached the simple dwelling where the Holy Family had found lodging, after the crowds had departed, Daniel stayed on the edge of the group. He was shy. Daniel knelt down at the doorway and gazed at the babe. And when the wise men moved forward, each in turn to offer their treasures, he suddenly felt his flute in the pocket of his tunic.
Oh, no.
Well, why not?
And as the wise men bowed low to Christ made man, Daniel suddenly rushed forward and laid his flute at the feet of the babe. And as he did, he looked up at its mother, and she smiled at him. A wonderful, grateful smile. But he must hurry now. He'd be left behind. The wise men had already gone out and were calling for their servants. There, his master was calling him.
Ah, there you are. I was beginning to wonder if you'd taken up King Herod's offer after all.
Oh, no, sir. I'd never do that. And I want to go home. I've such a lot to tell them in the village.
Well, boy, we've seen the Messiah. We have seen our salvation. Come, let's have a tune. It's time we saddled our camel. Where's your flute?
I haven't got it. I left it for the baby. I thought you wouldn't need it anymore. Now.
Oh. You're right, child. You're right. No, we won't need it anymore. We have a music in our hearts that will take us safely home. You're a wise boy, Daniel. You'll make a good chief.
The baby gave me his gift, too.
You've been listening to a program written by Jill Bevilacqua. And now, Father Jim Brand, spiritual director at the Pontifical Beda College, thinks about names, their meaning, and about the importance of words.
Hello, it's Father Jim. We've passed Christmas now, and I hope you're all recovering. I hope it was a happy time for you. We're now looking forward to January the 1st, which for our church is the feast of Our Lady, the Mother of God. Our Lady is important for so many reasons. I could carry on speaking about her forever, but I must limit myself. One of the reasons she's important for us is that our Lord's last gift was to give her to us. This is your mother. And so we all have one Father in heaven and one Mother in heaven. And according to the book of Revelation, she is still in labour, shall we say, giving birth to sons and daughters. Every day, new sons and daughters are born into the church. And she gave our Lord his name. So I'd like to think about names. Some names are quite funny, and some parents are rather cruel, the names they give their children or the initials the children have. At school we had a Charles Chaplin, if you please. We had two brothers whose surname was Adam. One was Cyril, and the other was Eve, Y-V-E-S. And I remember my mother used to go to a hairdresser in Tunbridge Wells in Kent during the war, and there were two sisters there whose surname was Stone. One was called Ruby, and the other was called Cherry. which for children we thought this was funny, fancy being called Cherry Stone. But for Hebrew people, a name wasn't just a noise. It identified what someone or something is. In the Garden of Paradise, Adam rummaged around to try and find names for things. I suppose he saw a huge, big, lumping creature and thought, I wouldn't take you to the disco. Stand on my toes. And then said, oh, it's an elephant. An elephant. Oh, that's all it is. It's an elephant. And when we give a name to something, somehow it becomes tame. In counselling, sometimes a person can't identify where their pain is. They just don't feel right. And maybe a counsellor can help the person give it a name. I'm hungry. I'm lonely. I'm thirsty. I'm depressed. Oh! What's wrong with me has a name, does it? Oh, I'm not crazy. It's identifiable. And one of the most important things any teacher can do is to give a person a good vocabulary. Sometimes the words we use are like sledgehammers, they're not tweezers. I remember in the army, when I first went into the army for national service, there were two words. It was really very funny. These two rather rude words were used as adjectives, adverbs, pronouns, nouns, even imperatives. Because people just had some four-letter words that they chuck around the place. And when people have a poor vocabulary, it's difficult for them to find words with which to express accurately what they want to say. And then the person listening is able to be in communion with them. So often misunderstandings come when people don't hear and understand each other's words. So it is a beautiful thing to be given a good vocabulary. In English, actually, is a very, very rich language with subtle words for nature and for feelings and everything. So all teachers and parents, when you teach your children words, it will help them be in communion and to communicate with others. And you teachers who are teaching languages, you're undoing the chaos of the Tower of Babel, where everyone was babbling away and nobody understood anything. You're helping people to communicate across the world, hands across the ocean, east speaking with west, north in conversation with south, building up understanding and communion. Also, names for the Hebrews were important. They meant something. They weren't just noises, names of people. And the angel said to Mary, call him Jesus, the one who saves. The one who saves. The name our Lord gave God is Abba, Father. You don't even need ABC for that. It's just AB, Abba. The name is Amma for Mary, Mother. And the Lord says, you call her Amma too. She's yours. She's given to you. And I presume if our Lord was learning how to be human, as we all have to do in his human nature, he had to learn his A, B, C. And if you look at his use of words, the visible verbal pictures he painted in his parables. All one can say is, what a lovely home it must have been for him to enjoy using words like Abba, Amma, home. Our Lord loved the word home. Make your Heimah home in me as I make mine in you. So the word home must have been a very precious word for him, which must say something about the Holy Family and his home, his experience of what home means. Peter was given a name, Rocky. Rocky, I'm going to call you Rocky, because that's what you are now. You're going to be the rock on which the church is built. So let's respect each other's name, because the Lord calls us by name. In prayer he says, Jim, Jim, here I am. And dear parents, you have a right to call your child its name. So when he or she grows up, when somebody calls his name, they'll be able to say, yes, that's me. Here I am. The Father says, Jesus. And the Lord says to his Father in heaven, here I am to do your will. So, coming up to the Feast of Mary, and more about Mary next week, on January the 1st, let's remember, she is Amma. She gave Jesus his name, and that is the name by which all of us are to be saved. Amen.
That's all from the English feature programme today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.